Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. The Commerce Department released their GDP report Thursday morning, and the U.S. economy cooled slightly to a single rate in the fourth quarter. That ends a year of high inflation and rising interest rates. Despite signs of resilience, economists at the Wall Street Journal remain concerned about the possibility of a recession. More fallout in Virginia after a six-year-old child shot a teacher earlier this month. The Newport News School Board is getting rid of its superintendent, George Parker, after the six-year-old boy allegedly snuck a gun into an elementary school and shot his teacher. On several occasions that day before the shooting, school officials missed opportunities to disarm the pupil when rumors of the child having a gun were met with inactions. Diane Toscano, attorney for the victim, Abigail Zverner.
And a career she loved. Today, she's between surgeries and physical therapy appointments with a career in question.
If you like Newsmax television, you may be out of luck.
DirecTV is dropping the conservative network. The company saying that Newsmax demanded a rate increase. But Newsmax officials say the move amounts to nothing more than censorship and is an act of blatant political discrimination. Earlier this month, congressional Republicans wrote a letter to DirecTV's CEO saying Congress is going to conduct thorough oversight on the extent to which House Democrats collude with private companies to limit First Amendment rights. I'm John Schaefer.
Elon Musk's electric car company Tesla reported a profit of nearly $3.7 billion for the final 3 months of 2022. Former child star Lance Kerwin is dead at the age of 62. Kerwin became famous in the 1970s for starring in the TV series James at 15 and the 1979 miniseries Salem's Lot. Kerwin's agent says he died Tuesday of an undetermined cause in San Clemente, California. This is USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Republican Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri has introduced a bill that would ban members of Congress from trading and owning stocks, renewing a legislative push to curtail stock trading by lawmakers that has failed over the last few years.
On Tuesday, Hawley introduced the Preventing Elected Leaders from Owning Securities and Investments Act, which, when abbreviated, spells out Pelosi. As part of the announcement, Hawley tweeted, "Members of Congress and their spouses shouldn't be using their position to get rich on the stock market." Last year, Paul Pelosi sold millions of dollars worth of shares of a computer chip maker as the House prepared to vote on a bill focused on domestic chip manufacturing. In Washington, I'm Victoria Idoni.
After okaying tanks for Ukraine by the United States and German governments on Wednesday, a Swiss parliamentary committee is calling for facilitating transfer of weapons to Ukraine. The lower house of parliament is reporting weapons manufactured in Switzerland should be allowed to be passed on by other countries to warring states under certain circumstances. A farm worker is accused of killing seven people in a Half Moon Bay, California shooting. The events took place at two mushroom farms. The suspect is to be charged with seven counts of murder and one of attempted murder. 66-year-old Chin-Li Zhao was set to make his first court appearance Wednesday, but has been postponed until February 16th. Lance Pry, USA News.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. That's 800-562-2407. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound?
6 minutes after the top of the hour, you know, it seems that ever since the history of man, there's been an issue with narratives, false narratives, people lying to us, especially when it comes to the media. You know, when you think about here in America, our First Amendment right, which is a great, you know, part of the Bill of Rights that we live under and try, but there are forces that want to eradicate, you know, our Constitution and these said rights, and some have irresponsibly, made choices and have done things that do not empower the First Amendment. They have become, subjects of the government instead of subjects of the people. But, the fact of the matter is denialism has existed, you know, from day one, and especially when you talk about the Holocaust, you know, with all the evidence and, video evidence, history, people still question whether or not the Holocaust really occurred. But they want to talk about it's interesting because by contrast, they want to talk about the Crusades. Oh, the Crusades were such an evil thing, you know, because they had something to do with Christians. But they have no idea, you know, as one of our earlier guests pointed out, as to, you know, what was the mission of the Crusades? What were they trying to do? They were trying to free people, you know, that were being enslaved. Oh, yeah, by the way. So, but let's confuse the narrative and let's put out misinformation. And, I think it's somewhat rich and laughable that a government, our own government, would have a proposal of, you know, a department of misinformation. This has been something Democrats have been hoping for a long time. So far, it has fallen on its face. But let me tell you, it will continue. All this to say that the Holocaust has been one that people still to this day deny. But tomorrow we'll remember those that suffered during the Holocaust and also pledge to continue fighting for justice for present day victims of genocide, including, as the Prime Minister Salihudier says, including Uyghurs and other Turkic people of East Turkestan. The Prime Minister of the East Turkestan government in exile joins us now. Salih, welcome back to the show. Always good to have you with us. How are you, sir?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing all right. How are you?
Well, I'm doing terrific. I'm honored to have you on the show to talk about Holocaust Remembrance Day because, in a sense, the Turkic people of East Turkestan are suffering, in ways that are unimaginable. That when you think about the Holocaust, the Uyghurs can definitely identify with this and also appreciate a Remembrance Day. And the reason that we have a Remembrance Day is in hopes that humanity would not lower itself. But yet it seems to be doing that regardless. For some reason, there is this human projection or this human inclination to hurt and destroy people.
Yes, unfortunately, you know, the people of East Turkestan today, we're facing things that are, you know, in many ways synonymous to the Holocaust that the Jewish and millions of other people faced under the Nazi regime. That's why, you know, we stand in firm support with the Jewish people. We, you know, remember those that suffered during the Holocaust, like the Jewish peoples and others, and we pledge to continue fighting for justice for, you know, present-day victims of genocide such as the Uyghur and other Turkic peoples of East Turkestan.
Sally, as you say, you know, that you can definitely, you know, we have a modern day Holocaust that's been taking place. The 20th century was absolutely brutal upon humanity. We remember 6 million Jews. But there was another, you know, 170 million people, because they were considered to be less than, that were murdered during this this reign and killing that took place in our world, right?
Yes, I mean, it's because of, you know, racist ideologies, fascism, which is, you know, even prevalent today. We can see this in the case of East Turkestan. You had millions of innocent people that were being slaughtered simply because of their identity. And this is especially, most evident in the case of the Jewish people who were slaughtered simply because of their Jewish identity. And today we have the Chinese regime, the Chinese fascist communist regime, engaging in, you know, a mass genocide against the people of East Turkestan, again, simply because of their identity.
You see, this is the issue, as you say, Sally, is that you have a situation where you've got, you know, two differing philosophies. You have a Judeo-Christian philosophy, a spiritual philosophy that honors the creation of humanity to the degree that C.S. Lewis said, "I've never met a mere mortal. We're made, all of us, made in the image of God." That is just hallowed ground when you're considering a fellow human being. And then you have the isms, Marxism, communism, socialism, you know, whatever ism that you want to relate to, that doesn't believe in the Word of God, doesn't believe in honoring humanity, that right now the growing sentiment, even with the World Economic Forum, is that the Earth cannot sustain 8 billion people. That we have too many people on this planet. So that it is their determination, solely their determination, non-elected individuals and power brokers on a global stage saying that, it's reasonable to, so to speak, cull the herd and to reduce the population because suddenly they are God and they know better than God himself, who created it all to sustain growth, to sustain humanity, because of one of the commandments that God told us, to be fruitful and multiply. Why would God tell us to be fruitful and multiply if there wasn't an infrastructure to manage the growth and the multiplication?
I mean, people, you know, like those at the World Economic Forum or other places have no right to dictate, you know, who gets to live or who gets to die. They have no right to dictate, you know, how many people have the right to live and how many people don't. It's this type of ideology that led to, you know, the Holocaust. It's this type of ideology that is leading to the ongoing genocide of Uyghurs. And it's shameful to see, you know, such people speaking about this, you know, calling for the elimination of millions or more people.
Well, and for me, Prime Minister, I consider the value of humanity. These people who have been murdered, and whose body parts have been, taken out of their body and sold in the market. You know, what we have done, what the loss to those of us who are left behind and living, what intellectual advancement, what inventions, you know, have we lost as a result? You can only imagine. We've got to go to break. We've got more from the Prime Minister after
Silver
this.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing, to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-781-0987. 800-781-0987. That's 800-781-0987. If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Independent, just the way you like to hear from us Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, we're talking with the Prime Minister of the East Turkestan government in exile. Salih Hudiyar is with us, and we're remembering. I mean, tomorrow is the official day to remember the Holocaust, Holocaust Remembrance Day. And Salih has been expressing to us why this is so meaningful, for the Uyghurs especially, and those around the world. It's not just the Uyghurs, but others that are being held captive by governments, oppressive governments, and that they, today, though we've heard the chants that never again would what happened in the Holocaust would occur. But the fact of the matter is human beings being who they are and governments being who they are, they do not operate under a constitutional republic like America is trying to hold on to right now, because left to its own devices, we enter into human trafficking. We enter into areas that are absolutely debased. They kill people. They rob people. They rob the culture. Because when we have people not able to live up to the fullness of their God-given talents and designs and purposes, we are a little bit less. And this is where the world is at today, and why it is so important for us to remember Holocaust Remembrance Day, which will be officially tomorrow. Prime Minister, you and I were talking off air about the victims of genocide in the modern era, including the Uyghurs, and how people will say, well, we don't want the Holocaust to ever happen again. But the fact of the matter is that we're probably no different than those churches that heard the cries of Jews passing by in the cattle cars, and the pastors of the church just telling the constituents, well, we'll block out those cries. Just sing louder and don't worry about it. Just ignore it. This is a sad human condition that continues to today, that while people, even at this very second that you and I are talking, are being murdered, and the kind of atrocities that are being perpetuated upon them is just inhuman and disgusting, right? Is the Prime Minister still there? Solly, are you still there?
We're still having, as you just said, we still have, millions of people that are being locked up, that are being held in concentration camps and prisons, facing rape, torture, and even summary execution, being killed for their organs, which are then sold as so-called halal organs. Yet you don't have the international community taking meaningful action against this. You have world leaders all across the world repeating every year when it comes to Holocaust Remembrance Day, from celebrities to governments to almost everyone, they repeat their vow of never again, but that never again is just for that one day, just for Holocaust Remembrance Day, and after that they forget. After that they ignore, the ongoing never again that is happening today. The ongoing genocide of Uyghurs and other Turkic peoples. It's completely shameless, as you stated.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is that the communist Chinese have such a stranglehold on, on countries around the world, that these countries are forced, they're compelled to stay quiet and to ignore this. I mean, they might, have a day like this and maybe apologize through back channels to the communist Chinese, for the kind of genocide and the kind of human indignity that they're perpetuating in their own country amongst not only the Uyghurs, but their own citizens. But they'll let them get away with it because somehow we need to work with the communist Chinese regardless of this kind of, this kind of activity that they're perpetuating, not only upon their people, but in essence, like you and I talked about, it's impossible not to infect the entire world, because we are a global economy. We do have global interest, in each other. And this cannot, truly, if this can never happen again, then we need to know what we stand for so that we are giving a fair chance to the citizens of the world to be the best they can be. Is that fair?
No, that's perfectly fair. I mean, in fact, there's numerous international treaties like the UN Genocide Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. Yet that's not being implemented by government. You know, everything that is defined as genocide by that convention is happening in East Turkestan at this very moment. Yet many governments, most, in fact, ignore this treaty, despite the fact that they have treaty obligations to punish and prevent the crime of genocide.
Now, is there any remedy? I mean, here you've got, you know, like you say, the United Nations. Is there any remedy to force them to take a stand and do something about this?
Well, as a whole, I mean, it's up to states. Forcing the whole UN to implement its own treaty is going to be very difficult because the fact that the UN is made up of various interest groups, and right now China is using its economic and political leverage to silence, you know, the UN's response or to prevent the UN response. It's up to, you know, democratic nations like the United States, like the European countries to actually, you know, work together, rally other nations to implement this treaty, and to, you know, uphold their commitment.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's more conversation about defunding the United Nations. Maybe this becomes a significant part of why we should defund the United Nations is because they're not honoring humanity and they are participating in a genocide there in East Turkestan. This is all them. I mean, this isn't anybody else. This is the communist Chinese doing this upon the Uyghurs, right?
Absolutely. I mean, this is the UN is turned into a joke. It has not fulfilled any of its obligations under international law. I mean, China is violating everything, you know, the whole entire UN charter and all international treaties, yet the UN is not doing anything about it, which shows that the UN is complete failure. It's failing to uphold its very objective. And that's why I kind of agree with you. You know, the UN, you know, there needs to be something different. You know, I think governments that have that, you know, respect human rights, that, you know, honor freedom and self-determination, they need to come together and work to create a better world.
Mm-hmm. We've got about a minute and a half here, Prime Minister. Help people understand. I mean, we talk about human trafficking. We talk about the sale of organs. You know, the kind of things that Uyghurs are being subjected to in China, you know, in this last minute or so that we have together. I just want to be able to break through, you know, people's, you know, blind understanding and blind perception of what is going on there in East Turkestan. Can you help them understand this?
Yes. Essentially, to put it in simple form, what's happening in East Turkestan is a result of Chinese occupation and colonization. It's the, you know, wholesale genocide of an entire population, eradicating their culture, their language, their identity, their even their physical existence, because the Chinese colonizers see them as a threat to their rule and occupation. And that's why, you know, because of their different identity, they're facing this genocide.
How many people? Do we have an idea, Prime Minister, how many people have died at the hands of the communist Chinese?
I mean, at the hands of the communist Chinese, we don't know how many people have died in East Turkestan alone, but we know that over the past 70 years, the Chinese Communist Party has killed over 70 million people.
Mm-hmm. Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. He's the Prime Minister of the East Turkestan government in exile, Salih Hoodier.
Diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
USA News Update. More fallout in Virginia after a six-year-old child shot a teacher earlier this month. The Newport News School Board is getting rid of their superintendent, George Parker, after the boy allegedly snuck a gun into an elementary school and shot his teacher. On several occasions that day before the shooting, school officials missed opportunities to disarm the pupil when rumors of the child having a gun were met with inactions. Diane Toscano is the attorney for the victim, Abigail Zverner.
Abby was a cheery young woman with a big heart and loved educating young people. She had a very bright future and a career she loved. Today, she's between surgeries and physical therapy appointments with a career in question.
The Commerce Department released their GDP report Thursday morning. U.S. economic growth cooled slightly to 2.9% annual rate in the fourth quarter. That ends a year of high inflation and rising interest rates. Lance Pry, USA News.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Dr. Wilfred Riley, the professor of political science at Kentucky State University and the author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About, is with us right now. Class is now open. Dr. Riley, good to have you back with us. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Bill. Always good to be on the show.
Hey, lots to talk about, but and I want to follow up on our earlier conversation we were just having with Understanding the Threats, John Guandolo, and that has to do with this movement, over gun control and what New York is starting to do and basically implementing the first national gun registry, program, which is quite shocking, especially when you consider New York is one of the, top areas. I mean, look at the crime rate that's going on right now, and the attorney general there says that gun control is saving lives when it's just the opposite. There's no evidence whatsoever to give us an indication that these laws that they want to introduce will have anything to do. If anything, it just liberates the criminals who say, oh great, now here's all these gun-free zones. I mean, even in Times Square, Will, you got a big sign there that says Times Square is a gun-free zone. Well, the bad guys with guns, they can't read. What they know is that, hey, if they go in there, they're not going to have any pushback. They're going to really be able to have their way with millions of people going through Times Square.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they can read gun-free zone. I mean, you just saw a machete attack in Times Square, and then you saw a group shooting. A group of African-American versus Caucasian Hispanic males. I mean, that's out of a movie, if I recall correctly. I mean, those two incidents about a week apart in Times Square. So I'm pretty sure they know that the citizenry are going to be unarmed. I went to New York recently, and it was weird because New York used to have that reputation as kind of American Sodom. There'd be guys on the corner playing three-card Monte. Then it really cleaned up under Giuliani and Bratton. Mm. And when I got there, they had just legalized recreational marijuana. Mm. So it was kind of back to what it used to be. Certainly, I mean, I didn't feel all that threatened. I mean, there are a lot of legal weapons you can carry around. But, I mean, there were guys outside of all these shops with names like Weed World saying, like, we got the real thing now, you know, and, you know, selling stuff on tables. I mean, right. So you definitely determine the character of your city. And I do think criminals are aware of that. I don't think they're confused. Kind of a last addition to this, when I was a hip-hop and punk rock kid in Chicago, I mean, a city almost the size of New York, we used to call this a narco-tyranny. That was a popular term from kind of like cyberpunk comics. Because there's a weird dichotomy. Like, if you followed the rules in a city like Chicago or New York or even San Francisco are constant. Like, there are limits on how much soda you can buy. If you want a plastic bag in the store, that's an extra 10 cents. But if you don't follow the rules, you can do anything. So, I mean, we used to see people get on trains and, like, start having sex. I've seen that happen at least 8 times as a Chicago kid. I mean, people would get on and start writing graffiti before they instituted the graffiti fine of $250. So it's that a narco-tyranny. Like, if you're a citizen, you have to register your gun. There's an official gun registry. You know, you're sleeping with it in a safe that's open only with your digital print. But, I mean, if you're a crack dealer down the street, you just have to sleep with your pistol under your pillow. And if you get caught with it, you get a $500 pistol charge. Mm-hmm. So there are two problems. One, criminals are enfranchised. They're empowered. The second, which I think is more dangerous, is that a lot of people on the fringe, a lot of working class, when I was a kid, it would have been black, Italian, Irish kids. But a lot of working class people start kind of asking, why should I obey the law?
Yes.
And that's when you really get a surge in crime. That's when you see, you know, this guy, people doing skate tricks in public parks while smoking blunts. I mean, that's when you get the cities of the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, it's happening. Well, according to latest research, and Dr. John Lott from the Crime Prevention Research reported on this to us earlier, that murders are becoming even more concentrated in a handful of urban counties. You know, to your point, you know, you get what you, you know, what you sow. You're sowing this kind of anarchy and this kind of mentality in some of these counties, and you're getting more of it, and it seems to be more concentrated in a small number of counties as opposed to thinking that it's a national problem.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So I had a pretty heated debate with someone who is pretty far on the right recently about, the question was, I mean, it was an awkward question to talk about, but it was why some groups have a higher crime rate. It used to be Irish Americans, now it's black Americans. And there are all these explanations that are offered. It's genetics, it's the absence of religion. And I gave a real simple explanation, and I said, what you have to understand is that certain groups of people are concentrated in the areas that from time to time just stop enforcing the law.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it sounds almost idiotically simple, but it's like that paper I did with Tom Donovan, America's Majority Foundation, where we looked at what predicts performance of kids in school, and we found out this wasn't really racial, but the reason the South trails the North is that they study more in the North. Asians beat everyone else because they study more.
Yeah.
It's that simple stuff. I mean, cities like Portland, cities like New York, have such high crime rates because those are the places where they basically, during Black Lives Matter, if we're being blunt, just stopped enforcing the law.
Exactly.
I mean, we're seeing, what's this in D.C., this crazy proposal that you not be able to lock anyone up unless they're transferred to, I guess, the feds, the federal prison.
Mm-hmm.
But in the city and even the state, you can't lock anyone up for more than 4 years for any crime. This is not an exaggeration, by the way. It's led Fox News last night. Mm-hmm. So if you commit an attempted murder, murder is the one exception, but if you shoot 4 people with a gun, the maximum sentence, as I understand it, is going to be 4 years, and then they have to let you go. And when you see stuff like that, you see massive increases in crime in specific areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the homicide rate during the BLM era, during the George Floyd era, specifically 2020 to 2022, rose, specifically for African Americans, about 60%. It rose more than 30% for everybody. So that's something that's entirely cultural, and it's entirely recent. We just stopped enforcing the law, so people started disobeying the law. I mean, I don't want to make light of it, but that's the relationship.
Well, you're exactly right. This is empirical. I mean, when you have, especially during the George Floyd riots, as you bring up, and you had mayors of cities saying, well, they've earned the right to riot and burn and do all this damage. Just leave them alone. What?
I mean, that's a time when you really need to have enforcement so it doesn't get out of control and you don't end up with billions of dollars of damage and cities that are devastated, that have lost local retail businesses and jobs for teenagers and need a place to go and work and to thrive. And some of these cities, well, as you know, I mean, in some cases, it's been over 10 years and they still haven't recovered because you've got a lot of these national chains that, you know, these cities have become no-go zones. They're going, no, we're not going to invest in those cities anymore. We can't trust the, sadly, I mean, and it happens to be, you know, one leadership over another. I know people like to say, well, it happens on both sides. But predominantly, again, looking at the evidence, you know, it's Democratic leadership that is, you know, that's destroying these local communities because of the very point you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much correct. I mean, a smart liberal pundit like Matt Yglesias will point to Jacksonville, which is the one outlier. But yeah, the 24 of the 25 highest crime cities in the USA, and this is true across ethnic demographics again, Portland, for example, a mostly Caucasian city. You've got some mostly Latino cities in there, although not many. Latino crime rates dropping sharply. But, I mean, at any rate, across every possible background, the unifying thing is sort of not just Democratic, but left-leaning Democratic administration. So that quote you gave is from the Baltimore mayor, yes. Marilyn Mosby.
Yes.
The D.C. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, she said, we need to get, after all they've seen videos of people being killed in the streets, we need to give them room to destroy, that famous line. And there are a lot of problems with that. So just starting at the top, the first is, I mean, we've both been leaders. You can't allow that. There has to be peace.
Yes.
So you can sympathize with someone who feels that they're a victim of police brutality, but if they then start committing crimes, they're a criminal and they have to be broken by the state. So, I mean, that's the first and most obvious baseline. But at a secondary level, even if you find that cruel, I mean, there are still some obvious points. Like, first of all of the victims of these rioters are also going to be working class people in the same neighborhood.
Exactly.
Like the George Floyd riots, people forget this, and there's almost this image of them as having been justified, cute. I mean, if you go to Minneapolis now,
we've got to hit the pause button. We got to go to break. Right. More from Dr. Riley after this.
Here's a message just for the attorneys out there. So you passed the bar, joined a firm, or even built your own. Now are you finding out that you're doing more administration than actual law practice? Lexicon can help. Lexicon is a legal technology provider with over a decade of experience streamlining administrative tasks, like timekeeping, billing, and more, so you can focus on maximizing billable hours and increasing client satisfaction. Call 855-4-LEXICON or visit lexiconservices.com/go to learn more.
Every one of us invests in what matters to us, yes? From subscriptions to Netflix or iTunes to a protein shake or new shoes, they bring a sense of joy and value to our lives. It's also important that we have a country to save and the next generation to protect. Bill Martinez Live has been increasingly targeted for canceling by a culture that doesn't want to hear the truth. Advertisers who have traditionally supported this show have been compelled to not advertise. Here's author, pastor, and teacher Phil Hotzenpiller on what we can do.
I think we keep swinging the bat. We keep shouting the message out. We keep supporting Bill Martinez Live, who's bringing truth every day to the listeners. Pray to Almighty God for healing of a nation.
In turn, that arms us with the ability to easily engage others in intelligent, reasoned debate. Your one-time gift of $100 underwrites a half hour of BML Live. A $200 gift, an hour. 24 hours of BML Live would be a $2,400 gift. Perhaps you'll join with Bill every month and opt in at $100 per month. What's your best gift in helping Bill influence the next generation with logic, reason, and a love for our country? Your gift of any size matters. Make your tax-free donation right now. BillMartinezShow.com and click the donate button. And thank you.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
We're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here. Hey, by the way, thank you very much for participating and supporting this radio show. By the way, good news if you didn't hear us yesterday. We were approved for our nonprofit status, 501c3. So when you go to the website and you donate to support the radio show and to promote freedom and allow for expansion of Bill Martinez Live, you know, we thank you. And it's noted that now your gift, your donation, is tax deductible the way it should be. So thanks for participating and thanks for supporting freedom as we continue to fight the good fight on behalf of we the people. Dr. Wilfred Riley continues with us. He's the professor of political science at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. Will, before we went to break, you know, we were talking about, you know, these real life issues and, you know, what's next for the American people, what we need to do, because, yes, there are concentrated areas where, you know, the old saying, you reap what you sow, and, you know, the stats are empirical, it's clear evidence, but yet you have people who want to, you know, gin up the emotions of people. In doing that, they really kind of blunt our ability to have an intelligent conversation or even intelligent awareness of what's actually going on.
Yeah, I think there is a real reluctance to talk honestly about issues like crime. And I think that's because they touch on some tripwires like race and class. Political party is a big one. I mean, as you just mentioned, 24 of the 25 highest crime cities are run by, I mean, you know, blue dim warriors, like people who are very serious Democratic Party activists. So it's, this honest discussion of this is pretty rare. But yeah, the crime problem in America is not universal. So in Kentucky, for example, I looked at the rural districts of Kentucky, which is defined as anything but Lexington and Louisville once for a paper. And I found that there was no black, white, Hispanic crime differential at all. Anyone who's interested in this data can call me. My number's on the university website and check this out. But everyone is just basically sort of a hard-working American. Kentucky's a pretty diverse state, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that was because Appalachians in general have a pretty high crime rate, if we're being honest, but some of it was just because in a very few large cities that have moved away from what we did to reduce crime in the 90s, that's where you see crime. And even in those cities, it's concentrated. Like, I go back to Chicago all the time, and I go to the north side, I party, I go to some of the ethnic neighborhoods on the south side, go to Pilsen for good Mexican food, go back to my old church, actually, is in the Bridgeport area, classic sort of Irish Chicago neighborhood. But, I mean, there are parts of Chicago that I won't go to as, you know, a reasonably fit burly, middle-aged man. And that's where almost all the crime is. I mean, the most violent neighborhood in the country is commemorated a bunch of rap songs called O Block is in Chicago. And, I mean, there's a shooting in that Parkway Gardens area virtually every day. So you don't have a crime problem in America. There's no crime problem in the neighborhood in Frankfort that I'm walking through right now at all. Mm-hmm. You don't even have a crime problem in Illinois or in Chicago. You have a crime problem in O Block. You have a crime problem in specific areas of cities that aren't enforcing the law, where you have other issues like concentrated poverty that the city overall would normally have to tackle. And every time you pull back on enforcing the law, you're going to see slums in blue cities boost the national crime rate. So I guess there's not really a point here other than crime is concentrated, and you need to control it by as harsh as it sounds, cracking down on those high crime areas. Like, last thing, but New York. When New York cut down on crime in the 1990s, that cut the national crime rate by a third.
Can you imagine? Yes, exactly.
Yeah, New York City's got, 10 million people? Even Chicago are only around 5. You know, so and a much higher crime rate than normal. I mean, 30 murders per 100,000 at that time versus nationally, 3. So if you can bend that by half, you're having a national, an international effect. And it's important that people do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing that's amazing is these politicians find a way to leverage the sentiment, again, emotion over facts, to go to the Treasury and beg for money and say the answer is we need to get into the taxpayers' vault to heal our problem, right? That's their answer every time.
Well, I think that there's a tendency, especially on the left, although Republicans sometimes do this too, with we need to rebuild, you know, traditional rates of church attendance. I agree, that's a 100-year project. There's a tendency to focus on these very root causes. We social scientists do this too. So the libs especially will say, okay, well, if you want to reduce crime, you need to double the budget for, what would it be, education, social work, mental health care. And at a certain point, as a local leader, which, you know, I've been, you have to say kind of ruthlessly, well, the other solution is just that if people commit crimes, because even most poor people don't commit crimes, what we do is we knock them over the head and throw them in jail.
Right.
And we find that the second thing, as harsh and worldly as that is, reduces crime just as well as the first thing. So I don't really think we need to triple our spending on education until every student is perfectly comfortable with themselves, because what would happen is that we'd have 100 years of high crime while we were waiting for that to happen. And by the way, it wouldn't be possible for the schools to work unless we did something about crime in the meantime.
Yeah, exactly. And can anybody ask the question, has that ever worked? You know, and what it happens is they end up turning that investment into vote buying. It becomes a political football, and the mission and the objective is lost in the process. And meanwhile, the teachers' unions and everybody are feeling good, kumbaya, because they're getting money out of the Treasury. But they're really, and here we are, the bottom line after everything is all said and done. Look at how America ranks in educational, development. I mean, here, what do we rank? 27th, 28th in the world with all the money that we invest in education? I mean, this is a disaster.
Yeah, I will say that number's a little misleading, because the top, and I mean, you're absolutely right. You're factually correct. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there are a couple of things that come into play there. I mean, the first is that, I mean, the top 15% of our students go to the great Catholic schools and so on that aren't really available in a lot of Europe. I mean, so if you add those numbers together, I think we're 9th or something like that. And we also have a different demographic population. And again, we've been talking about ethnicity a lot during this call, black and Hispanic kids are catching up. But the countries that are still ahead of us, if you're looking at the top 9 or 10, are going to be these tiny, monoracial, wealthy societies like Norway, Korea. You know, so I don't think our schools do as bad a job as we think. But I think, again, you've got a problem with concentrated failure. And the thing that no one will say is that the concentrated failures cost the most. So the most expensive school system in the USA is in D.C.,
yeah.
Which is funny. I mean,
yeah,
you know, and the school's politicians' kids go told you don't do all that well either in D.C., by the way.
Right.
But, I mean, the best performing school system is North Dakota, where, I mean, they don't really get a lot of money. I mean, they basically have books and they have standard brick schools, and that's it. I mean, the kids drive there and pick up trucks and ride their bikes and they learn to do math. So...
What a novel concept, right? You go to school to learn. I mean, that is unbelievable that it has become not necessarily common sense. It's like I've been saying, common sense has left the building. We need to bring that back. Will, we've got about 3 minutes left, and I did want to address what people are referring to as Car-a-Lago. Of course, I love the line and the concept. And, of course, this is President Biden, who is... you know, it's a mystery to him how these documents ended up in, I think now the number is somewhere like 6 different places that his attorneys are discovering, not 40 FBI agents.
Yeah, I mean, so I might irritate your GOP audience a little by saying that I'm not necessarily sure this is a big deal, but here's the catch. Trump's story was not a big deal either.
Right.
I mean, so... Okay, I'll rephrase that, actually. The Democrats set the standard that they're going to make a huge screaming deal about classified documents being found in, like, a sealed vault in a competent former president's house. So now we get to scream, too. You know, the reality.
I know. It's like the screaming goat. You know, you're exactly right. We got to do a cutaway to the screaming goat. It's very appropriate.
But just, I mean, like, so that's the whole thing. Like, Trump had some papers. He took them home. He either did it as souvenirs, knowing it, and lied about it. I mean, people do that. Or he just didn't know what they were. He cleared out his office. He sent it to the vault at Mar-a-Lago, which locks. Mar-a-Lago is a big building. And people started screaming about this, like, you know, people are saying things like nuclear spy Donald Trump. So, okay, and Joe Biden got in on that. He wasn't brutal with it, but he definitely took some shots at his old rival.
Mm-hmm.
And then, classified documents found at 6 different spots, Joe Biden's house, including his muscle car garage. So, if you're gonna take the fight behind the school and you're gonna say this kind of stuff, he's gonna take some hits now. I mean, nuclear spy Joe Biden. You know, is it complete nonsense? Yeah, but he's now in the hot seat, as it were.
Well, without a doubt, especially when they were at home and which is amazing to me. Don't you wish that you have a child that could pay $49,000 a month in rent? You know, for a bedroom in your home?
This actually, I think, so people keep asking me when I give speeches, and we get into political scandals, and I'll mention one or two from Trump, but quite a few from Biden. You know, but the Hunter Biden, why do we care about it? Okay, the guy's partying with girls, but I mean, many people have done that. Who cares? The real Hunter Biden story is high-level financial corruption, where, I mean, at some level, we all suspect who the big guy was.
Exactly.
So, like, the tax issue there is that Hunter Biden listed on his financial documents that he paid $50,000 in rent.
Right.
You know, rental property output for this standard beach house that's worth maybe $2 a month. Joe Biden never stated that he received any of this income. I mean, he listed his rental income for that house all the time as $19,000.
Well, we're out of time. We're going to let the people chew on that for a while. My Dr. Honor. Wilfred Riley, you're awesome. Thank you, buddy.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm your host, Smokey Cole.